Good morning. Thanks for the introduction. So I'm Manuel Bravo. I'm postdoc student, postdoc in IMDEA software in Madrid. And I'm going to talk about Hourglass, which is some joint work I did with my colleagues at Lisbon, Pedro, Luis, and Miguel. So this is kind of easy to motivate. So large-scale graph processing is everywhere, social networks, biotechnology, machine learning, and many more places. And sometimes these graphs are super big on many of these cases in which these large-scale services. And these are actually growing. So for instance, in 2015, Facebook reported more than 1.39 billion of active users. And in 2017, they reported more than 2 billion. And one characteristic of this, of analyzing this type of graphs to extract some information, is that it's not a one-shot computation. So due to the dynamic nature of these graphs, often we need to rerun our applications on top of these graphs as they mutate. So this is what it motivates us for this work. So basically, we claim that the cost of operating these recurring graph processing frameworks in the cloud could be very expensive. And our approach is to use transient resources to reduce the operational cost. So I won't spend much time here because of our first talk. So transient resources, which are offered by cloud providers at a discount price. So the examples are like spot instances in Amazon. So for instance, just to give you an example of how much cheaper this could be, here I'm just comparing the on-demand price and the spot instance price for a C4X large instance in Amazon EC2, and is about 70% of discount. But the problem with the transient resources is that they're transient, so they can be revoked and unexpectedly, and they give you a very short notice, which is about 2 minutes right now. But actually, this is changing. So before they were not giving you this 2 minutes warning, now they're giving it to you. So we don't know in the future what's going to happen. So we claim that this makes the provisioning of recurring graph processing tasks very challenging. So let's take a look why this may be challenging. So basically, we are saying that we need to execute these applications on top of these graphs recurrently. So many times over time. So the problem is, like, before finishing one execution, we need to guarantee that the next, before executing the next iteration or the next computation, we need to guarantee that the previous one has finished. So we have a termination deadline. And dealing with these termination deadlines and the evictions is not trivial, as we show in this graph. So here what we're doing is, so previous work in using transient resources to run this type of applications, they were not considering a temporal deadline. So the problem is, like, they were being too aggressive or on picking deployment configurations. So the problem that they had, which is the right side bar, the one that we call eager, is that even though they were able to reduce the cost significantly, so in this example we are using one of the state-of-the-art solutions, SpotCheck, over 2,000 computations. So what we are showing here is the cost when compared to on-demand prices. So a SpotCheck in this case will be able, or an eager approach will be able to reduce the cost 63%, but it misses the deadline 79% of the 2,000 runs. Then we compare to a conservative approach. So the conservative approach is pretty simple. So we first try to use transient resources, but then if there's an eviction, we fall back to using on-demand. And the thing is that since in most of the cases an eviction happens, then we need to fall back to the on-demand. So in this case, we are meeting all the deadlines, but we are only achieving 23% of cost reduction, which is not bad, but knowing that there's a potential of a higher reduction, we want to do better. So we ask ourselves is whether we can break this trade-off. And this is where our work comes into play. So we are presenting Hourglass, which is our system. So it's essentially a resource provision engine for graph processing that offers substantial cost savings while ensuring tasks meet their execution deadlines. And the intuition behind is that we use transient resources, but not trivially. So we use transient resources as much as we can, as far as we have time to play with transient resources. But as soon as we are in risk of violating the temporal deadline, we fall back into the on-demand resources. And integrates two key mechanisms, which both are important for us to achieve these goals. So on the one hand, we have a Slack-aware provision strategy. So this is going to be selecting safer or riskier configuration deployments, so let's say resources, set of machines, in the cloud provider we are attached to. And we are always considering the temporal slack available. So temporal slack available is the time that we have before the next deadline, minus the time that we require, the minimal time that we require to execute the task. So basically, when picking riskier or safer configurations, we are always considering this slack. And this turned out to be a good approach to reduce the cost. And also important is to provide fast reload mechanisms. So due to the evictions, we may be forced to redeploy our framework and to reload the graph into the new set of machines. So we realize that it's very important that we optimize this step. Otherwise, we are wasting slack on tasks that are not using transient resources. So let me give you an overview of our glass, of how it works. So first, our glass partitions the graph offline and stores it in an external data store. Then we call the Hourglass provisioner, which is this Slack-aware provisioning that I mentioned before. And this has three inputs. So the eviction model and the market data, which is, it depends on the cloud provider. And then we assume the existence of a performance model that we don't need it to be completely accurate, but at least we require the performance model to never underestimate. So once a deployment or a set of machines are selected, we have to deploy the framework. Hourglass deploys the framework, and then it loads the graph from the external data store, and then the execution starts. So since evictions can happen at any time, we do checkpointing periodically. And after a checkpoint, we ask ourselves whether the job's done or not. So if yes, of course we are done. Otherwise, we go back to the Hourglass provisioner because we want to take this opportunity to see if there is a cheaper deployment at this point in time. And then if there's a newer one, then we need to redeploy and reload the graph. But so this cycle may happen many times, and actually an eviction can happen before a checkpoint, so we may be losing work, and then we need to grab another set of machines to complete the job. So let me now explain a bit about the Slack-aware provision strategy. So as I said, we are assuming two things. There is a deadline that we need to satisfy. And also, we are assuming that there is a last resort configuration. So this is basically an on-demand configuration, a set of machines that are able to run to execute the task with a minimal time, given the set of machines that we are considering. And so what we are doing is we are exploiting, as I said before, this slack time to use transient resources as much as we can. And then at some point, if we run out of slack while we are executing, we switch to the last resort configuration using on-demand resources to guarantee that we are not getting evicted, so to guarantee that we meet the deadline. So what we are doing here, so I'm going to talk about a bit how we pick a configuration given a set of possible configurations. So among all the possible configurations that we have in specific point in time, what we are doing is we're computing the expected cost of all of them. And from all these expected costs that we are computing, we are picking the configuration that gives us the smallest expected cost. And this is computed in few words as follows. So if there is no work remaining, so W is equal to zero in this case, we say that expected cost is zero, obviously. And using our performance model, if we believe that the configuration, this particular deployment may fail satisfying the deadline, what we do, we say that expected cost is infinite, so such that we never pick this configuration, such that we satisfy the deadline. Then we differentiate between the cases in which the configuration is only using on-demand resources. So if it's only using on-demand resources, the cost function is easy to compute and cheap. So basically, we use a function of the price of the resources, the time required to execute the remaining work, and the time required to save the result. And the complex thing is to compute the cost in case of using a deployment configuration with transient resources. So in this case, we are computing the expected probability of an eviction. So the estimated cost, the expected cost, is computed as the probability of eviction to occur at each point in the future. So this is quite a complex, and so I was just grasping the surface of this model, but please check the paper for the precise description of the formulation. And this is quite expensive to compute online, as we're doing, so we apply also a couple of simplifications to the model to make it affordable online. So this is the part of the provisioner for our class. So now, as I said before, we have a second mechanism, which is this fast reload mechanism. And this is because, as I said before, because of evictions or checkpoint, we need to sometimes to call the provisioner again, which may lead to redeploying. So we want to spend on this. So this redeploying and loading the graph is kind of the slowest steps of this cycle. So the more time we spend there, the less slack we have. Therefore, the less transient resources we can use. So we kind of reduce the cost as much as we wanted to. So our fast reload mechanism aims at improving this. So it's a hierarchical approach. So first, we run it could be an expensive offline phase. It depends on what we want. But it's only run once, when the graph is loaded. And then we have a cheap online phase that it may be run multiple times if we need to redeploy multiple times during a job. So it enables two nice properties. So one is parallel recovery. So basically, after a configuration change or a set of machines changes, each of the workers are able to load the graph in parallel without communication among them. And the second one is that we are still preserving high partition quality. So partition quality is important because if we don't have a high partition quality, then during execution, we have a lot of communication across the machines. So we are increasing the execution times. So this works as follows. So the offline phase starts by partitioning the graph, the original graph, into micro partitions. So an important thing is that the micro partition size is sufficiently small to fit into any of the available resources. And this is key to guarantee that the graph never needs to get repartitioned again online. So, and this what gives us is kind of a reduced graph, so which is much smaller than the original graph. And on the edges, we're still counting the edges crossing micro partitions from the original graph. And this is important for us to guarantee high partition quality in the online phase. So this is the offline phase. Now we move to the online phase. So online, every time the provisioner is called, what we are doing is we're taking this reduced graph and we are clustering micro partitions. So basically for a given configuration, we are deciding where each micro partition is gonna be placed. And this is gonna depend on the weights on the edges of the reduced graph. And this is much faster than the offline step, partitioning step, because the graph is orders of magnitude smaller than the original one. And then eventually what we do is we map back the micro partitions to the new cluster of micro partitions, and this allows us to attain parallel recovery. Because at the end, we are not partitioning the reduced graph, we're simply allocating or clustering micro partitions such that the new workers can load the graph in parallel without communication among them. So I'm gonna move to the implementation. We integrated this with Amazon ecosystem. So we are using Apache Giraffe as our graph processing framework, but we apply a couple of modifications to it. So we read and store checkpoints from Amazon S3. And we perform we also modify Giraffe to perform the graph reduction step when the graph is first loaded. And for binding, we use the on-demand price due to the recent changes of Amazon. Doesn't make sense anymore to play with the bid. So, and in our evaluation, we are comparing against two state-of-the-art solutions. So we are comparing against Proteus and Spoton. both of these solutions are aggressive on proposing transient deployments because they are not caring about deadlines. And we are also comparing against two variants of this, that we apply a deadline protection mechanism such that they always meet the deadlines. Our results are basically a mix of simulations and real deployments. So we need to do simulations because we have to run long-lasting experiments to really see the reduction of the cost, and also because we want reproducibility. So the problem is, like, if we always run real deployments, the eviction rate and the prices will change over time. So we need to experiment with these solutions in exactly the same environment. So we play with three different graph applications: shortest path, page rank, and graph coloring. With page rank, we normally execute with 20 iterations. And we use 7 data sets, which is a mix of real world data sets. Twitter is our largest one, and a synthetic data set. So just to show you a few numbers, so here we are comparing different jobs. Each of the jobs have different execution times, which is within parentheses. Those execution times are for the on-demand, for an on-demand deployment, so without any eviction. And what we are doing here is we are fixing the slack that we have. So we are assuming there is a slack of 20% of the execution time. And so on the y-axis, we have the normalized cost with regard to the on-demand resources. So the smaller the bar, the better. The shorter the bar, the better. And the number on top of the bars is the percentage of deadlines missed by these approaches. And this is a total of 2,000 runs. And we use a public trace of the prices of Amazon and eviction rate. So as we can see, our last always meets the deadlines in our experiments. And for short jobs, our last achieves the best savings. And this is mostly because of our fast reload mechanism. We can see that for longer jobs, eager solutions achieve slightly better savings. This is kind of expected. But unfortunately, they are failing on meeting deadlines because they are not meant to, actually. And as we can see, the deadline protection mechanism makes solutions to fail saving cost in most of the cases, at least for 20% of slack. So now what we are doing is we're fixing the job, page rank in this case, and we play with different slacks. So we move from 10% of slack up to 80% of slack. We can see that our last still meeting the deadlines, and it achieves savings even with small slack. So as we have 20% of slack, we are already achieving very good, very, very good savings. We can see that other approaches even miss deadlines with very large slacks. And we can see that the protection mechanism only serves here when the slack is very large to provide better savings. So that concludes my talk. So as a takeaway message, so we can use transient resources and still meet deadlines. So we don't need to use these transient resources only for low priority jobs. And it's key not only to have a good provisioner, but also we need to optimize this fast reload part. And please check the paper. There are many more experiments, and we evaluate each of our mechanisms separately and the accuracy of our provisioning engine. So thank you very much. I'm ready to take questions.
Do we have one question in the room?
Hi, nice talk. I'm curious, what's your experience in getting users to tell you what their deadlines are? In my experience, users don't know what their deadlines are. And if you ask them, they will make up a number that's either very, very big or very, very small.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I don't have experience on interacting with users in this aspect. So I cannot comment on it. But yeah, I guess it's pretty tricky for them to pick a reasonable deadline. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
But thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, so thanks again.